Like I said, Thanksgiving is just around the corner to do for Thanksgiving. Anybody? Yeah. Who's not sure if they have shopping still to do? I don't know. We'll find out. I think we have everything set, but you never know, right? In fact, who has yet to pull their turkey out for Thanksgiving? It's probably too late, at least traditionally. We haven't actually, although we're just using a turkey breast this year with me and Mel and the boys, so we don't have to pull it out too soon. So we still have time. But speaking of turkey, did you know that 91% of Americans have turkey for dinner on Thanksgiving? So Dan is in the 9% that don't, right? So I stumbled upon this list of people who had sent or called in to a question answer forum and through Butterball Turkey, I believe. And I wanted to share some of the questions that they received. So here's a few of them. So one woman said, one woman in her 70s said this. She was cooking Thanksgiving dinner for the first time. She called to help because her mother said it was time that she learned how to prepare a Thanksgiving meal. So she called in for questions. Then there was a proud gentleman who called to tell the staff how he had wrapped his turkey in a towel, laid it on the floor, and stomped on it, breaking the bone so it would fit in his pan. Okay? Then there's another gentleman who called to tell the operator that he cut his turkey in half with a chainsaw, and he wanted to know if the oil from the chain would have a bad effect on the turkey. Okay? Then there's a disappointed woman who called wondering why her turkey had no breast meat. After a conversation with the talk line people, it became apparent that the woman's turkey was just upside down. Okay? I got three more. So there's one man who called in and told the helpline operator about how her little girl had asked if they could slow roast the turkey for 3 or 4 days because she loved the smell it made in the house. Okay? The expert told the person that the turkey should only stay in the oven for a few hours and that it wasn't a good idea to leave it cooking for 4 days. Okay? And then after discovering a turkey from 1969, this person found in their dad's freezer, a man called the hotline to ask about the best way to cook a 30-year-old turkey. Although the talk line staffer recommend the open roasting pan method most of the time, he suggested that the first step would be to buy a new turkey. And the last one, which is my favorite, it says, when a talk line staffer asked a caller, what state is your turkey in, mentioning how thawed is it, the person replied, Florida. Like the physical state. So those are a lot of fun reactions that people have with Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is always a memorable day. It was for me. I know growing up, we would have ham, turkey, gravy, mashed potatoes, candied yams, green bean casserole, crock pot mac and cheese, deviled eggs, and rolls. That was the standard Thanksgiving at our table. And that was always followed up with pumpkin pie and pecan pie, right? And that was just kind of what it is. And even today, now that all us kids are grown up and we kind of come together, and it looks a little bit different than when we were kids, we still have most of these items there. There's a couple new things here and there, but for the most part, that's what it looked like. And I'm sure if I asked you guys about your Thanksgivings in the past, you could say a similar story about what it would look like, right? What that would look like. But after all the food and the family time is over and actually has ended, how many of us are actually stopping and thinking about what we are truly thankful for. Are we actually doing that? On this day of Thanksgiving, are we actually thinking about the thanks part? So that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. Are we thankful? Are you as thankful as you want to be, or are you as thankful as you ought to be, right? So this morning I have a wonderful truth to share with you from God's Word, and we're going to see how we can put thanks in Thanksgiving, okay? And here's how. So first, we must depend on God's super abundant supply, okay? In verse 8 through 11 of 2 Corinthians, Paul gives a glowing testimony about God's infinite ability to supply all our needs. And let's read that. So starting in verse 8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace overflow to you, so that because you have enough of everything in every way at all times, you will overflow in every good work. Just as it is written, 'He has scattered widely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever.' Now God, who provides seed for the sower and bread for food, will provide and multiply your supply of seed and will cause the harvest of your righteousness to grow. You will be enriched in every way, so that you may be generous on every occasion, which is producing through us thanksgiving to God." So, church, we really can depend on God's super abundant supply. We're able to, okay? If anybody in the world should know this, we should know this as Americans, right? As Americans, we should know this because God has been so good to us here, right? We've been so blessed. We have so much, right? We're not most of us aren't scrounging around for food every single day. There's a story about a visitor who came from a very poor country, and they came to the United States. And as they were riding through a subdivision, they noticed a car backing out of a garage, okay? And they had this comment to say. They said, "Wow, you even have houses for your cars." When I think about that, I'm just like, oh, that's just normal, right? There's a garage. Almost all houses have a garage. Most of them are attached to your house. Some of them aren't. If you don't even have a garage, you maybe have a carport, something you put your car under. But that's not the norm many places, right? So we have so much, and we don't even realize it sometimes. There's a pastor tells about one of his friends who was a recovering alcoholic. When this friend went on a mission trip to Honduras, which I'm going to talk about Honduras a couple times today, actually, her whole view of the world had shifted, okay? She told her pastor this. She said, "I've always felt poor since I lost my big four-bedroom house in a divorce. Then I came to Honduras and saw how the victims of Hurricane Mitch were thrilled to have these two-room houses that they were building there." She said, "I came back to my 600-foot square condo and saw that I live in a palace compared to them. I'm rich, and I never knew it until I went to Honduras," right? How many of us could say the same thing if we really compared ourselves, right? We do have so much. And all of it came from God's super, super abundant supply, right? Amen. It all comes from God. We should know that we can depend on God, right? And knowing that makes us thankful for the good things that he gives to us, okay? We shouldn't feel bad because we have something, but we should give praise to God because we have something. Giving thanks, church, is an expression of faith in a God who supplies our needs. If you are not inclined to give thanks for something, it's an indication that you do not recognize God as the superior supplier of that thing. If you're looking for something to give thanks for, begin by realizing, church, that everything you own, everything you enjoy, everything you use, including your own body and mind, is from God, right? It all belongs to the Lord, and He is, you know what? He's letting us enjoy it, right? He's letting us enjoy it. There is nothing we can come, nothing we can name that doesn't belong to the Lord. Why? Because He created all things, right? He created everything. He owns everything. Psalms 24:1 says this, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all its peoples belong to Him," right? James 1:17 tells us that whatever's good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all things in the heavens. Church, the more that we realize that we can depend on God and that we must depend on God, the more thankful we will be to God for being so good to us, right? I know it seems simple, we're thankful to God, but it's a great reminder, right? A reminder that we are thankful to God for all we have. So, we can put the thanks in thanksgiving by depending on God's supply, right? Second, we must demonstrate the work of the gospel in our lives. So God wants us to demonstrate the work of the gospel in our lives. That's what we're called to do in Scripture. He wants us to let people see the new life that we have in Jesus Christ, right? When we become saved, we have a new life. There should be a visual change in us. God wants us to let people see that Jesus is living in us. And one of the ways we can do this is through generous giving, okay? Through generous giving. One of the great results of our giving is that thanksgiving to God will be greatly multiplied. There's the point Paul makes to believers in verse 11 through 13 of 2 Corinthians. I want you to listen to the verses, and I found this online. It's an adaptation from the New Living Translation, and I do have it on the screen for you. So it says, "Yes, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will break out in thanksgiving to God. So two good things will happen. The needs of the Christians in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanksgiving to God. They will be glorifying God through the generous gifts, for your generosity is to them will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ." One of the ways we can demonstrate the work of God, the work of the good news in our lives, is by giving generously, right? And when we give, people will break out in thanksgiving. People will do that. God wants His people to be generous. He wants them to be generous, cheerful givers. We have to think of the opportunities at hand. Some that came to mind whenever I was putting this together was our youth fundraiser, right? As of right now, we have 4 kiddos who are eligible to go to either high school youth camp this coming summer or middle school camp. With that, the minimum total cost for these 4 to go to camp is $1,200, roughly. Okay, that's not counting all the extra little expenses, but to pay the base price, basically, for them to go to camp, it'd be that price. And God willing, right, by the time we get to this summer, we'll even have more kids we can send, right? That's what we're praying for, right? That God will send more kids, which in turn would do what? It would increase that price. Another way is the angel tree, right? Beautiful tree out there. We have an opportunity to provide Christmas gifts to kids who are living through some really hard situations in life, specifically through having a parent in in jail or prison, right? It's an opportunity to give. So I say this to not convict you, right, about how you're giving, but more to inform you of what Scripture says about giving, right? What Scripture says about giving, what you're called to do by Scripture. In fact, I'll leave the convicting to the Holy Spirit, so I'll just put that on his court. You never know, church, how much gratefulness can come from your generous giving. You just don't know. You may not even ever see the outcome, right? You never know how much gratitude can come from your generous giving. But thanksgiving to God will be multiplied when we let people see the work of the gospel in our lives. Okay? Third, we can also put the thanks in thanksgiving through the devotion that grows in the people we bless. You bless, right? So there's a story about two men walking through a field one day when they spotted an angry old bull who wanted them out of his area. Instantly, they darted toward a fence, the nearest fence. The storming bull was, of course, following them in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent to them that they weren't going to make it in time. Okay? Terrified, one man says to the other, "Put up a prayer right now. That bull is about to catch us up to us." Okay? But the other man answered right back, "I can't. I've never spoken a public prayer in my life." Right? The other man says, "But you must. The bull is catching up to us. Just use a prayer you've heard before." So the man said, "All right." Panting, the man said, "I'll say the only prayer I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table at Thanksgiving. Oh, Lord in heaven, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful. Amen." To be honest, that story has nothing to do with this point. I just needed somewhere to put it, and I wanted it in there. Anyways, in verse 14, Paul talked about another blessing that comes from our generous giving, right? Paul is now thinking about the people who receive the gifts, and he says this: "In their prayers on your behalf, they long for you because of the extraordinary grace God has shown to you." In fact, the New Living Translation says that people who receive the gifts will pray for you with deep affection because of the wonderful grace of God shown through you, right? The wonderful truth, church, is that you will often be blessed by the people you bless, right? This is a wonderful upward spiral of mutual love, joy, giving, and thanksgiving, okay? Jesus promised this to us in Luke 6:38. And I have it on the screen. He said this: "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap." When we give, we receive as well. Speaking of, like I said, Honduras earlier, here's another story that ties into Honduras. Many years ago, the Good Shepherd Hispanic Baptist Church in, let me get it right, Metairie, Louisiana, showed compassion to fellow church believers in Honduras who were suffering from the same Hurricane Mitch that I mentioned earlier. The people at Good Shepherd sent 12 containers of food and clothing to two churches in Honduras to meet the needs that were taken away from them by the storm, okay? Then Good Shepherd Baptist was hit hard by Hurricane Katrina, and they were surprised when both Honduras churches helped them, right? Now, you got to remember that these Honduras Christians were very poor people. They did not have a lot. But one church sent a love offering of $1,000 to help their American friends. The other church was able to send their pastor and five workers along with $17,000 to help Good Shepherd Church. These men helped clean up. They even provided a great meal of blessing to celebrate the service of those people. The pastor and people of God, a Good Shepherd Baptist Church, were blown away by the generosity of the Honduras churches, right? That upward spiral of joy and thanksgiving will be repeated over and over again as God's people give, okay? It's going to happen. You're going to be blessed by the people you bless. So there will be growing devotion in many of people we bless, church. Lastly, we can also put the thanks in thanksgiving by delighting in God's greatest gift. Okay? At the end of the discussion of giving, Paul's mind turned to the greatest gift of all, right? And in verse 15, he overflowed with these words of grateful praise. He said, "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." This reminds me of the words that Paul wrote in Romans 8, verse 31 through 34. He said, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." Church, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift, right? God the Father gave his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus Christ rising from the dead to give everlasting life and everything else that we need, right, to those who will receive him as Savior and Lord. Again, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. We have all we need in Jesus. We have so much more, right? But suppose you didn't have anything but Jesus. There's a story about a woman whose name was Mary Parker. She had been greatly blessed in life, okay? Mary and her husband Jimmy met during World War II. He was in the Army, and she was a Navy wave. Anybody ever heard that term? Well, I had it. So I'm learning something new every day. It's a branch of the Navy for women, basically, which I thought was pretty cool. They were married on the last day of the war in 1945. When Jimmy had passed away, they had been happily married for 52 years. Amen. Mary had taught school for 20 years. She had two daughters and five grandchildren. The Parkers lived in a nice house with a pool in the back. Okay. They spent many wonderful summer vacations at the beach or with friends at Lake Blackshear in Georgia. But in the last months of her life, most of those things were gone. And Mary was battling lung cancer. During a visit from her pastor one time at her assisted living complex, and while she was sitting there in one of those lift recliners, which I'm sure you can all imagine, I can even imagine them because I used to play in them, with a big TV tray in front of her, okay, she said this, "This is my world," okay? She didn't say that because she felt upset with her situation, where she was at. No, she said it because she knew that that was where God was having her at that moment in her life, okay? It was apparent that Mary had lost everything that the world had to offer, for the most part, by many of our views. But she still had everything she needed because she had Jesus, church. She was okay to let all those things go away. She had still had the most important thing, Jesus. So Thanksgiving Day, as we close this morning, Thanksgiving Day will be over Friday, right? We'll all be transitioning, most of us, to Christmas. In fact, I already put my lights up, and Bart's lights up, and Dan's lights up. So if you have lights that need put up, let me know, because I'm a pro at this point. But Friday, for most of us, Thanksgiving will pass. But I hope that our hearts will continue to overflow with Thanksgiving every day after, right? Amen. It's a day that reminds us to be thankful, but it's not a day that requires us to only be thankful that day. Yes. We can remember that we can put the thanks in Thanksgiving when we depend on God's super abundant supply. When we demonstrate the work of the gospel in our life, and we give so devotion will grow in the people around us, and that we keep delighting in God's greatest gift, which is Jesus Christ. I want to close with one last story as Margaret gets up and situated. I meant to write it down. So there was, I want to share how the, I'm trying to remember how I pronounce it, Mossi tribe in Africa, I think that's how I heard it, demonstrated Thanksgiving through humility. So the Mossi tribe in West Africa have an unusual way of saying thank you, okay? Translators tell us that when the Mossi express thanks, they bow, put their forehead on the ground and say, which is translation, my head is in the dirt, okay? They're putting themselves in as low as a position as they can, right? When members of other African tribes want to express thanks, they sit for a long time in front of the hut of the person who did the favor, and that is literally saying for them, I sit on the ground before you, right? These African tribes understand what Thanksgiving is and why it is different for us. At the core, church, Thanksgiving is an act of humility, okay? We're thanking. We have to be humble enough to be able to send out that thanks. We could be prideful and not thank others, but we're not called to be like that. So, as Dale comes up, we're going to close with, and we're going to remember that we, as we sing, give thanks with a grateful heart. So let's sing that together this morning.